Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and to our regular listeners who tune in every single episode, welcome to a special Friday episode this September the 30th, 2016. And to those new listeners tuning in because it's their first podcast ever, or it's their first episode of this show ever, happy International Podcast Day. I am the Reverend Godfather, as always, the main host and front man for this show, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And yes, folks, it is very hard to keep up that kind of energy. As I said, this is International Podcast Day. And you know what? I do apologize for two things. One, if you manage to hear a tap, 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 slightly in the background, that's because I do have a tin roof above my ceiling, and it is raining this lovely evening. And second, I do apologize if I do sound a little clinical this evening, a little sterile, because today I'm going to explain to you why I decided to come back into podcasting, what a podcast is, and how to podcast. For those who wish to know how to do so and what it might take to become a podcaster. But first, for those who wish to know or hand this episode off to someone who wishes to know what a podcast is, according to Wikipedia, is an episodic series of digital media files which a user can set up so that new episodes are automatically downloaded via web syndication to another user's own computer or portable media player. The word arose from two different words. The first being iPod, a brand of media player put out by Apple Computer, and the second word being broadcast. Thus, the files are typically sent to you or sent to the user in audio or video formats, but may sometimes include other formats such as PDF or EPUB. Now, that's the end of the definition. The big $5 words taken out and kind of milked down a little bit, but that, I would say that definition is a couple years kind of out of date. Because there's arguments whether podcasts can be actually in video form or not. But with the advent of YouTube, that it's more so the thought being, the school of thought is more so it's audio format than video format. Because the whole aspect of one is user-created video content, and podcasts, or I should say, YouTube, is geared towards the video aspect of user-created content, whereas podcasting is more so the audio aspect of user-created content. That's pretty much the definition, other than the fact that it's more, or should I say, YouTube is more so TV, or user-created TV, whereas podcasts are user-generated audio content or radio content. It's also been described as, podcasts have been described as radio on demand or user-created radio on demand. But I got into, now to go into the next aspect of things. I got into podcasting again. I first got into podcasting about mid-2008. It was actually July 4th, 2008. I was part of the podcast known as the Electric Eye Podcast. Those who have been listening to every episode for the past year and change have heard a few throwback episodes of that podcast that I put up there. I would like to say the Dee Snider of that podcast. I was kind of the fate, meaning, to go into a little bit of music history for a second, Dee Snider was not the man behind the scenes for Twisted Sister. He was the front man. He was the face of Twisted Sister, but he was not the person who booked the shows and got the band together, make sure everybody was paid, so forth and so on. I was kind of quasi front man for that, but meaning I was the main host, but I wasn't really the guy behind the scenes. That was my co-host in this aspect, Big Candy. He kind of did a lot of the behind the scenes, and that podcast was mainly for shits and giggles. If you're the kind of person that does not, I know it's a little late, but this is not really safe for work, but I'll try to keep the cursing down to a minimum. Like I said, that was just for giggles and everything else. Everything was just half done, and we put our heart in it, and it lasted maybe about 8 months, 9 months, not too long. We didn't know what the heck we were doing. We were stumbling around a little bit. We had a lot of great ideas. We had momentum, and it just, fell apart. But after, we had a good time doing it, and during that time, if you asked me if I would do podcasting again, I would have told you, gee, I don't know, maybe, kinda, I don't know, but I was tossing around the idea again, maybe it was last year, 2015, early 2000, I wouldn't say that, I was thinking maybe about 4 years ago, that had the idea of the Long Coat Mafia be kind of a street team in reference to promotion and everything else, and when I realized that would not really do, and that's when I was strongly considering making the Long Coat Mafia into a podcast, and I was looking to several different ideas, listening to, once again, Kevin Smith, and a few other different podcasts, and starting to get into Nerdist a little bit, and I decided, I don't know, just doing things like that. One of the main other podcasts that I was listening to at the time, they're now defunct, was Slacker and the Man. Their style was more of a morning radio style, closer to not a Howard Stern, but kind of that, happy-go-lucky type of feel. But they lasted until maybe about 2014, very early 2015. I want to say 2015. I spoke to a lot of the hosts that were on the show, the two main hosts, out of the several that were there. But when the show kind of ended, that show, not my show, and I was gearing up, I was speaking to Big Candy, we kind of parted ways for a few years, like good friends sometimes tend to do. We parted ways for a few years, and one day we got back together and caught up, and he pretty much dared me a little bit to get things started, because we were having this wonderful back and forth conversation, and I made the passing comment of, we should be recording this, we should put this crap on the air, and he said, yeah, if you had the microphone, I'll be more than happy to do this with you, and there was the dare, there was the, yeah, maybe I could do this, maybe this is the time, maybe this is, and that was maybe, I want to say May, late April, early May of 2015, and that June is when I got the mic. Now I'm kind of, when I was starting to get the mic and get everything together, I got in touch with the man, who was the main front person. He was the behind the scenes guy too for Slack and the Man. And I told him pretty much that if he ever gets back into podcasting, we do a team up and so forth and so on, and that I would probably be stealing some of his plays out of his playbook. And he was like, go ahead, dude. You know, dude, go ahead. And that was my mindset. Not to copy his style. I wanted to be my own style. And that's, I'm kind of restarting to tell those who are interested into getting, becoming a podcaster themselves, this is kind of what you need to do too, so pay attention. You know, I want it to be my own style, and to those who want to do this, be your own style too. You know, don't, you know, if you don't have to really stick to a format, stick to a format. If your baseline is reviewing movies and video games, stick to that, you know, baseline, to discussing movies and video games. But don't be, you know, don't be afraid to go talk about other things like books or, you know, if there are video games based on movies or books, talk about books and video games. You know, mix it up. That way there is some variety in the show. That's what I did with this. I didn't just want to do a geek podcast. And that, even though it seems easy for a lot of people to do, is that geek podcast. And it's what I knew. It's, yeah, you know, I'll tell that to all of you out there who are considering doing a podcast. Do what you know. If you know about cars, talk about cars. If you could talk about that particular topic for 20, 30 minutes, then fine, do it. So I was getting that stuff together, you know, getting my mic and just organizing what I needed to do and using, again, using Slacker and the Man as a baseline and as not so much a foundation, but the baseline of where I wanted kind of my show to be, meaning at year one, the show Slacker and the Man was at this point. Slacker, and they were doing X, Y, or I should say A, B, and C. Year two, they were starting to do D, E, and F. Year three, it was G, H, and I. So that's where I wanted to be with this show. I wanted to learn from this show as much as I was trying to, like right now, teach. So I wanted to be that. I want to explore that and to be part of the community, and not so much a community leader, but to kind of have some influence in the community because of what I'm doing. I'm bringing the community together. Hopefully it's working, but it doesn't always work. It doesn't always, for everything that does work, there's one or two things that don't. For those of you starting out, let me say, to start out with a mic, you ask 50 people, you're going to get 50 different answers. A lot of the main people on the communities on Facebook will tell you, use a Yeti mic, use a Yeti mic. The mic I'm using right now is a CAD or a CAD mic. The model number is a U37, and it sounds pretty dang good. That's just for one person. That's just me doing single person, one mic, and that's it. Now, mind you, if you choose to have more than one people in it, now here's where a lot of people in the podcasting community will go full tilt into like several different schools of thought. Some of those people will swear up and down that you could use, you know, several different USB different mics, and you could do everything and set up everything via the computer and set it up, so forth and so on. And the other group of people kind of side with what I tend to do, and that's use a type of mixing board or soundboard. I use a Behring, I think it's a Behringer. It's that's the name of the company. My model is a XENYXQ1202 USB soundboard. It handles up to four mics, and it works beautifully for me and for what I use it for. I have two other co-hosts, so it has that expandability up to four people. I love it to death. I've got the settings just right on it for everybody. So I'm in that school of thought. It's up to you. All you have to do is search for USB soundboards if that's what you want. As you know, there's a wide range out there. I'm not going to tell you which model. You have to find that out. Watch the YouTube videos, the reviews. They come in many shapes, size, prices, and what you need it for. To me, the model I just told you is great. The mic I have for single use is great. I do have four other mics and cords and a arm that I could use for myself and stands. That's additional. Do get stands, do get mics. You're going to need that just in case your podcast does grow, if it's just you, but and you want to bring in other guests and co-hosts. Speaking of co-hosts, me personally, even though I'd like to ramble on like tonight about to National Podcasting Day, I love my co-hosts. In a friendly way, very friendly way, in a non-sexual way, in a very friendly way, because I like to bounce topics off of them, to hear what they think and talk about it and so forth and so on. I'm that kind of person. I could work both ends of the stick, so to speak, in reference to having co-hosts, more than one host besides myself. Some people, one of the things that the man has stated in the past, that he didn't really like having female co-hosts. Me, on the other hand, I like having a female co-host, because one, it gives the female perspective on certain things, and Zombie Bunny is my female co-host, and she might not be totally up to geek standards where, or I should say, she might know a lot about cosplaying and a little bit about comics and a little bit about movies. She doesn't really know everything about it, and that makes her an asset to the show, because me and Big Candy could ramble on and on and on about certain topics, and we just get into the lingo, the topic, the ins and outs that most of our listeners will know, but to someone tuning in, that person or people will not know. And here comes little old Zombie Bunny to ask, what do you guys mean by that? So it interrupts the flow in a good way, that it gives us time to put on the brakes and explain to the possible new listeners that Zombie Bunny is trying to represent. You know, okay, now we got to explain what this means, what that means, and kind of break it down, which makes her an asset to the show. And that's why I like having her on the show. And having Big Candy, just in case I say something he doesn't understand, he's the one that usually says, slow it down, explain it, use your words. So that's the benefit of having co-hosts, because they could slow things down, ask, what do you mean? As per guests, for the most part, think local. Start local. That way it hones your skills. Granted, in some locations, getting those topics and those guests in might be easier in certain areas than others, meaning that if someone lives in New York City, or like our brother in arms, the Reverend J. Leal of the Skeleton Crew brand, group of podcasts. You heard him talk on our show this past Monday, for those who've been tuning in for every episode. He lives in Nashville, so he could get musical guests on his show and talk about with those guests, where I cannot. I live in a virtual dead zone. I would have to literally travel to either Washington, D.C. or Baltimore to get those types of guests. So getting those types of guests can be easier or a little bit more difficult depending on your location. So it all depends. You just have to be persistent and don't be afraid to start small, and work your way up. And if you're able to get somebody that is across country VIA that you know that's on Facebook or Twitter and you want to speak to them and they're more than willing to come on your show, but it's on Skype. Myself, like the man, don't like Skype that much. Skype is not really our friend. I am very reluctant to use it a lot because it's not the best type of audio input, meaning it's not the best of shows, but I am willing to sacrifice show quality for content quality, meaning I'll say, you know what, I'll suck it up and I'll use Skype. That way, folks like the Reverend Jay Leal and Joe Calton, who came in to talk about Girls of the Finest, they're able to come in and talk about what they want to talk about, or if my co-hosts can come in and they have access to Skype, they can still be a part of the show. So I'll choke it up and I'll use Skype if I have to. Despite, you know, there are various different programs. Some people like one more than the other. To record the Skype call, I use Skype Recorder. That's just me. I'll say this now. As per getting help so far, before I go any further as to where to put your show and everything else, if you want extra detailed help and expert advice other than me, because I'm just a low man on the totem pole, so to speak. I do tend to talk out my ass sometimes, and I'll admit that. But I do recommend, this is me being honest to you guys out there, for those new podcasters that are coming up or thinking about doing a podcast, there are two groups on Facebook that I recommend. One is Podcast Center. Let me bring them up to make sure I'm getting these names right. I should have got these stuff up sooner. One is, like I said, the first one is, come on Facebook, one is Podcast Community, not Center. The other one is Podcast Discovery Center. They are two of the best podcasting communities out there. They have a lot of great users, a lot of, you know, the moderators are great people. It's a great time for everyone. They'll literally, if you have a tech question, they will answer it. They will literally, you know, help you work your way through it, in ways of hooking, like if you want to hook your phone up to a mixer, they'll be able to walk you through that. Or so forth and so on. They will help you even to the ways of, once you get started, they will, you know, say, if you asked them that I'm not really promoting my show, but I need someone to listen to an episode or two to see how I'm doing and where I need improvements, they'll be more than happy. There's a good bunch of those guys and gals on those two communities on Facebook that will help you out, listen to a few episodes, and give you a few pointers where you might need it. Next up, once you have everything recording. Let's start with there before posting it up to a site. recording software. There are a lot of audio recording software out there. I use the software Audacity. It's free. Literally, it's free. To give you an, like I said, for those on the trying to keep things on the down, I won't say the download, but on the cheap, Audacity is free. A lot of podcasters use Audacity because it's simple. There's a lot of stuff they could do to it. It's easy to convert to AIF format, MP3 format. A lot of the formats that most of the sites require you to use, and whatever. So yeah, I use Audacity. A lot of people who have, I don't want to say money to burn, the other schools of thought is like, use this particular sound program. Others use this sound program. Still other people use a different sound program. And still others use GarageBand. I just remember back in the old days when me and Big Candy were using GarageBand for the Electric Eye, we were kind of only limited to a half an hour. That's including start music, show, and ending music, which, you know, to me, kind of just lost a lot of. We could have went an hour and a half, but we were just limited to that 30 minutes. But I don't know if nowadays you're now to be able to record longer in GarageBand, but I love Audacity because you can record as long as you want. Again, still on the aspect of recording, if you want to do, I do recommend some sort of opening music or intro music and closing music. Depending on who you talk to in reference to opening music or intro, some might say 2 minutes, but that's pushing it. To me, even that's pushing it way too long. No more than some will say a minute. I'd say, personally, a minute is still a little bit too long, but it's at the very top of it, you know, very bottom of too long, because people will lose interest after a minute. So I'll say keep it between 15 to 30 seconds. That way people listen to it, and somewhere in that music, if you do have music, say the name of the show. Have the show name said. The ending music, have it, keep it simple or whatever. Do a type of mashup of show clips and with a little bit of background music to it. That way people know that the show's over. Or just have your co-hosts saying, goodbye, see you later. And that way people know that the show's ending, and if there's more shows to listen to, they know that another show's, where one show ends and another one begins. As to where to get show music, if you have friends that are musicians, maybe you could get music off of them, or pay them, if you're able to pay them, something for their time. I used Audio Blocks for the show music that I use now. I did bum a few, I wouldn't say a few, 30 seconds off a free music file done by the geek band Cyfried. It was just 30 seconds, and I tweaked it a little bit and put our show name in it. I used it maybe once or twice. I do give them credit for that. I will, if I didn't, I do that now. I do thank them for it. They didn't really yell at me for using it. It was only a few times I went before going to Audio Blocks and getting the files that way. I got a good deal from Audio Blocks. It was a free 7-day trial. No offers here. But once everything is said and done and connected together, edited it, I'm sorry, I rented lips. I'm tired. I just got off of work. Once everything is said, done, and edited together, let's say the whole episode is said and done. If you're wondering how long that should be, you have a lot of, again, another one of those things where it's a lot of schools of thought. Some people think your show should be more than an hour. Others, less than 30 minutes. Personally, I think for me, anything less than 15 minutes is a jip. I am jipping my, or for those who, I am using, probably using a word that most people don't understand. I feel that I'm robbing, if I give my listeners, you guys, less than 15 minutes, or I should say less than 20 minutes, I am robbing you guys of content. Literally, I'm robbing you guys of content. But if it's more than 2.5-3 hours, I'm giving you guys too much content. But either way, the reason why I say it, that's my opinion. Granted, there are loads of podcasts out there like TED Talks that are 15 to 20 minutes that are chock full of information. And there is, I think it's Hardcore History that's over 3 hours long. But those, and again, that's filled with great content. Either way, I mean, I cannot deny that. I give up that fact, those facts. Just to me, that for the most part, 3 hours could be too long, and under 30 minutes is too little. Granted, I might have done under 30 minutes prior and over 3 hours after. A lot of people in polls have stated that when other podcasts have done polls in reference to time, they've said yes, something like, is 1 hour too long? How long should we do an episode? And they'd give times for like 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, and 3 hours. They'd get, if 100 people vote, they get 25% on each answer. So it's kind of hard for them to say, wait a minute, where do we go? None of this is giving us any information. So if you create a podcast, make it as long as it needs to be, or as short as it needs to be. As per where to put your podcast, some people like, I'm not knocking Reverend Jay Leal and Skeleton Brand Crew type podcast, the podcasts he puts out. This not meant to be a critique on him. He puts out wonderful content. But there are people like him who put out their shows directly to their website. Which is, they got the know-how, they got the experience, so that's what they do. I'm not, you know, hey, if you know how to do that, do it, go. I'm not going to stop you. But there are people like myself that rather use a hosting site, like Libsyn, Podbean, SoundCloud. There are like tons of podcast hosting sites out there. I use personally Podbean. I pay roughly $9-$10 a month for unlimited upload and get unlimited download, which means if I want to put up 2 episodes a day for 30 days at 3 hours apiece, I have the ability to do that. And if I'm able to, God, fate's willing, if the show gets 10,000 listeners a day, they're able to download that without any problems. So that benefits me. And for those of you, I'll say this right now. Some of you heard me say this before. Who wish to get into podcasting, the show is partnered a little bit with Podbean. So if you go to their site, podbean.com/Goomba, you get 1 month free. That's right, you get 1 month free to try out Podbean as your service provider, no strings attached. And yes, we do get part of, you know, everything else. We do get a little something, but it's minute. Basically, all you're doing is telling them that we sent you. which helps them and helps us. What else can I tell you? If you're a geek podcast, don't, like I said, when I started this podcast, there are going to be steps and there's going to be some things that come easy, some things that don't come easy. I lucked, and I'm saying that in a bad way, but it was a good thing. I kind of lucked into being invited to interview at conventions, meaning that before starting up, there was going to be a convention, blocks from my house, called the 4-State SlasherCon, and it moved, finally wound up in Winchester, and switching promoters, and because I was following them, and was starting up the Long Coat Mafia, and when they found out that we were following them, they kind of, you know, me talking to the promoters, and the promoters talking to the show, and getting advertised. That's the thing. Advertising. Shop around. Sometimes if you have to start at a local convention, do so. That's what we did. That's why I said I lucked in, because just talking to them. And they said, well, for, you know, $100, you'd be able to, you know, advertise for, like, a low-level tier for at our show. And they got us the show in the door. That's how we met Matt Burns, who we tag team with over the past year, and we will continue for the length of the show tag team with Matt as long as he's willing to have us at his shows. And we do thank him for the learning experience, as always. He's the one that Matt Burns is the one that said, hey, why don't you host a first panel and get these interviews and so forth and so on. Go on, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. And that's what we did. We just, you know, kindly put our foot in the door and just stumbled our way into a lot of the celebrity interviews that we did. And my experience was that I didn't want to ask. That's why I want to encourage you guys. Don't ask the, do you, you can, the, what I lovingly call, do you like chicken questions? Because for the most part, a lot of the interviews that you might get are those questions. And thinking outside the box might help you break the ice. So, working cons, you know, don't gun for the major cons like an Awesome Con or New York City Comic Con or a San Diego, because the chances are you getting into a convention like that, if you're a geek-related podcast, are slim and none, meaning because there are some conventions like E3, if you're a podcaster or a YouTuber, they want $1,000 for you to come in and record, which is crazy. So, not to mention you have other major, I'm not knocking them, I'm not saying that they do this. You might have, that's why I'll say it like this, you might have a convention like Baltimore that say you might need a year's worth of experience doing a podcast with interviews and shows and so forth and so on before we even look at you. And a lot of podcasts, I won't say podcasts, a lot of conventions are like that. Or if you're a music-based podcast, check with your local music festivals. Check with your, if you're a car-based podcast, start with your local car shows. You know what's stopping you from talking with these gearheads or these musicians? You know, start local. You know, start little. Work your way up. You know, prove, earn your clout. You know, don't. You know, hey, if you're a gearhead, you know what to ask. You know, and you're catching some. You might actually catch some of these gearheads off guard. especially like that. That's why I love having big candy on hand, especially with music guests. You know, if he's in the room, like we did with Midnight Sonata, I backed off a little bit. I let him take the reins to ask the heavy-hitting questions, and that's when I'd step in with the follow-up questions where my guest came in and said, okay, this is why I do this, this, and other thing. And I come in, but what about this? Meaning that I saw a question in his answers that I needed clarification. And afterwards, he was like, damn, shit, you guys were the toughest interview I ever had. You know, but, and that's a compliment. That's what we wanted to get out there. What else? Again, advertising. Shoot yourself a reasonable goal. Yes, there's free advertising, which is, again, Craigslist. Don't forget to network. Networking is the best free advertising out there. That's why, I won't say that's why I'm friends with Jay Leo. I knew him for years. Same thing if the man came back and doing podcasting. We network. We will promote each other's stuff. We have in the past. We will in the future. That helps getting your name out. But there's free advertising like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That usually helps. As for paid advertising, also free advertising, create flyers. Flyers might not help, but if you choose to promote your show at flea markets, garage sales, like group community garage sales, community events where you could get a table on the cheap, flyers help. You know, get yourself a couple of business cards too to hand out. That way, if you're at a function, that helps. As well as another little piece of equipment that you might want to pick up, a digital recorder to put in your pocket, because you can't really carry your equipment all around. That way, if you're on the spot, you could do an interview right then and there. Besides, business cards help. If you don't have flyers with you, you could always have a couple in your wallet or your purse. Before I go into downfalls a little bit, let me tell you that it's very easy to get your show linked up to iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, but don't forget other avenues of getting your show out there. Like there, even though some podcasting apps for the iPhone and Android OSs, they automatically capture or find your podcast and share it on their app. There are some apps like Satchel you have to submit. So don't forget to do that. It's real easy. A lot of Podbean, you know, makes it easy to hook up to iTunes. But the thing is, you have to, if you have a little bit of a logo, you have to make sure it's within their specs. So don't forget to play around with that. The downfalls, one is advertising, because it can be expensive a little bit. Another downfall is that depending on your area, I know when I started here, I was looked at like, I'm a disease, you know, I'm diseased, I'm not wanted. As a matter of fact, even though my show, I am getting a little bit of notoriety in my area as to not so much who I am, but what I do, I am still considered, you know, a nuisance in some circles. I don't let that bother me, because the people who are that are, well, that's drama. See our past shows for that. But you might see some of that with you. You might not. Just let it roll off your back. Don't let the trolls and everybody bother you. Just that it just continue to grow. But with some of the benefits is that come out of that, you will grow. Like the fact that I didn't expect to be interviewing celebrities 1 year in. Because, again, to kind of go back on that topic, is that when I did my baseline based on Slacker the Man, I wasn't expecting to do celebrity interviews, panels, covering conventions, and don't having a booth at a convention. I didn't expect to, you know, hit celebrity interviews until maybe about midway through year two, which means that I was hoping that I'd be doing celebrity interviews maybe 6 months from now, maybe start of March 2017, if the show was going that long and that strong still. If it was still going strong by 2018, I was hoping to do convention panels by then, and to have my own booth at a convention by 2019, if the show was still going strong. And here it is, 1 year, and it's September the 30th right now. 1 year, and July, that's August, September. 1 year, 2 months into this show, and I've done two convention panels. I've done at least a half dozen celebrity interviews. This upcoming December, I'll have my first booth at a convention promoting this show. I am so stoked. I did not expect this. That's why if you're a new podcaster listening to this and you made it this far into the show, don't be afraid to take advantage of opportunities, because they're going to present themselves. And if they're a good thing, take advantage. If they're a bad thing, you know, don't forget to drop it. There are going to be instances where a lot of guests that you have on don't pan out. You could be mad. You could be, you know, don't burn your bridges, you know. Don't be mad that, you know, shit happens, you know. Again, I apologize for the profanity, but it does. It happens. When one falls through, and two more might present themselves. So consider that. You know, if you become an outstanding member of the community, and meaning if you're in a small town and you somehow bring the community together, or you help promote the community, or you become more well known and you become a representative of that community, or they'll build you up, they'll you know, make you, or they'll let you into the community more, meaning you find out more. The more you show them you got gusto, don't be afraid of that. I think his name is Mito Mitahara. Either way, he's the main guy behind the YouTube channel Some Ordinary Gamers, and he gave out the best advice anybody could give in regards to YouTubers, but it can apply to podcasters as well. And that is, whatever you choose to do your YouTube is, your channel, don't worry about it. That's your channel. To kind of modify it for podcasting and podcasters, whatever you choose to podcast about, it's your podcast. Meaning, if you want to switch, do like what we do at ours, if you want to interviews, do interviews. If you want to do hostfuls, do hostfuls. 1 week, if you want to do hostfuls, next week you want to do creepypastas, do creepypastas next week, and, you know, switch it up. Keep things moving. Yeah, you're going to have people that hate it. Heck with the haters. Ignore them. Content is content. If somebody's going to stay around for some sort of creepypasta, maybe they'll stay around for you ranting and raving about how a video game sucks. Or if somebody sticks around for you ranting and raving about how video games sucks, they might stay around for an interview you do with a local author, which might help that local author out. You know, it's your show. It literally is. That's why you see a mix of content on my show. Because that's the way, you know, it brings people in, and hopefully it makes people stick around. Don't be afraid to do or have content that does mix it up as well, because it might bring somebody in that goes, what the hell? Yeah, and you know, it's like video game review, interviewing with a Satanist. What? Now I got to check this sucker out. You know, it brings people in. I'm not saying interview a Satanist, but still, it might bring people in. If you choose to have your show not safe for work because it allows you to express yourself more, then do it. If you choose to dial it back and be a Ned Flanders. Say gosh diddly darnly. It's your show. You have to figure out. You'll find your groove. It's going to take you a while. Another little tidbit about iTunes. One, you're going to see a lot of your numbers spike. That's because a lot of places like Podbean, Libsyn, and iTunes, because you're starting out with them, they might put you in a new and notable category for a little while, and that's where you see a lot of your spike numbers. And despite what anybody tells you about iTunes, there might be algorithms, but there are no algorithms tied to your rates and reviews, which means you could have 40 rates and reviews on your show. It does not affect your podcast standings in any of the iTunes lists. It might have in the past, but from what I've heard, it might have in the past, but now it does not. Meaning, 5-10 years ago, when podcasts were first starting, iTunes might have had an algorithm in place that if you were getting a lot of rates and reviews on your podcast, it puts you higher in a list. That if they were positive reviews, it puts you on one particular list saying that, hey, look, check out this great podcast. Or if you got a lot of negative reviews, it puts you on another list saying, check out this sucky podcast. You know, either way, it would have been great for you. But now it doesn't do that. One of the things that a lot of podcasters like myself have found out, there is an algorithm for rates and reviews, but it doesn't affect your standings. Meaning, if you have 5 rates and reviews in one day, and what happens is that algorithm is going to see that, it's going to go, what the hell? And it might delete 3 or 4 of those rates and reviews. But for those who are listening to podcasts, I know if you made it this far, thank you for listening, but it's not over yet. There are a lot of podcasts out there that do suck. Hopefully we're not one of them, but a lot of people, including the man, has said as for each hay straw or straw of hay, there's going to be one needle in that stack. Not the one-on-one. It's going to be if there are 1 billion straws of hay in a pile, there might be 1 million needles. Or let me explain a little bit further. For the aspect of, for every 5 or 6 podcasts that have great audio, great content, great, you know, intro music, that doing things right, there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 that are not doing it. There are a lot of, there's a little bit of spite in the podcasting community that I have discovered. I haven't seen it in any of the groups that I'm part of, including Podcast Community and Podcast Discovery Center. I haven't seen that. I've seen it elsewhere where there are a lot of people that kind of despise the bigger names in podcasting, meaning they don't mind podcasts from Kevin Smith, Joe Rogan, Paul Scheer, Christopher Titus, Louder with Crowder. They don't mind these podcasts. They don't mind any of these people. And they put out great content. But where the issue comes in is that here are these celebrities coming in, putting up a podcast, meaning that, oh, I am, you know, this, let's use her for example because she's in the news. Hi, I'm Angelina Jolie. I'm going to do a podcast now. Well, and all of a sudden, because she has a crap ton of fan base, everybody's going to instantly listen to her. And where someone like myself or Jay has to literally work their ass off to get listeners on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, she's got instant listeners on a week-to-week basis. Now, mind you, there are people out there like Billy West, who's a voice actor, a legend in his field, that he wants to put out content. He wants to put out, even though he probably has loads of followers already and loads of listeners, he wants to do skits. He wants to work his voice, create new characters. He wants a forum to bounce material off listeners. He wants that forum. And podcasting is perfect for him because it allows him to use his talent to create voices, to create skits, to work on new skits, to work on new voices, to see where things can lead. So that, you know, to me, something like that is not a problem. You know, I love that. It's great. I'm a fan of Billy West. I want to listen to one of his shows. But the problem stems with that there are fans like me who's, I'm going to listen to Billy West. That means he's getting one more listener. Where for me to struggle to get one more listener is very, very hard. Again, that's also another one of the downsides where a lot of people are going to the celebrity podcasters. They're not really going to the local guys and local gals and the local people that are putting out wonderful content and missing out. Another one of the downsides is that algorithms in Twitter and Facebook and Instagram could change instantly. Just look at all the YouTube content creators who say, hey, with what YouTube is doing, it screws up how new viewers could view my stuff. Same thing goes with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I could put out different content or promotions on a week-to-week basis that usually would get views and new listeners in and so forth and so on. And it's not, yeah, it's, some cases it's clickbaity. Other cases it might be honest-to-God promotion. But the way certain social media acts, ACTS, and their algorithms, it could actually hurt your show, which means where that one person is looking for a new podcast, it's not going to turn up because the algorithms in Facebook or Twitter might say, oh, this person's tweeting every hour on the hour, let's not show his tweet or her tweet with the hashtag, popular hashtag to all these people because of, we think it's spam, and yet it's really not. That's why a lot of people say, hey, have a network. Have friends who are podcasters. Make friends with other podcasters, because that helps. That does help you as a podcaster, because if you can't get new content, sometimes you're able to have one of these, your friends on your show from other podcasts, which help promote your show, and you could cross-promote, meaning that, hey, like what we did, me and Jay did this past week, that I mentioned, okay, his show dropped. I'm promoting his show, his podcasts, his everything until the next show pop. Even afterwards, I'm promoting his show. And he does the same thing with me. It helps increase. We might not see additional listeners come in, but it gets out our shows to more people, and which is a benefit. It's a great thing. So it doesn't hurt. What else? I think that might be actually it. Also, some people might say do contests so you get some listener interaction and ask questions. Don't be afraid to do that. And speaking of contests, right as of right now, we have you, our listeners, have 5 days left. 5 days, 5 days, U.S. time. I'm saying that right now, U.S. time. That means October when October 5th ends, United States time. Because I say that because midnight might, if someone in England or someone in Japan wants to enter in the contest, they're able to do it if it's still October the 5th, U.S. time. You have until that date to enter in for our contest for a VIP ticket for two to the Entertainment Museum in Baltimore, Maryland. All you have to do is email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And all you got to do on that email is tell us you want the tickets. That's it. That's it. That's all you got to do is tell us you want it. And our next hostful will announce the winner. That's it. For now, I'm the Reverend Godfather. You just listened to your first podcast, if you're a new listener or new to podcasting. To our regular listeners, thank you for putting up with me this past hour and change. As always, if you listened from our website, which is the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.podbean.com, we do have an easy way for you to get our show. That is iTunes and Google Play Music. And if you don't like to stream our show off our website, you could stream it off of Stitcher Radio. And if you don't like to get our show off of iTunes or Google Play Music, there is loads. Well, maybe not loads, but there's at least several podcasting apps that are out there that do carry our show. Whichever if it's not on your favorite podcasting app, let us know. Maybe we could see if we could get it on there. So either way, you could email us that at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Let us know if you like anything we've said in this episode. You could email us, or if you disliked what we said in this episode, you could also email us. If we left something out, you could email us again at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We do have a Twitter. It's the same as our Instagram, both of which are Long Coat Mafia. Let's see, what else? Our Facebook page. You could like us there. It is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Let's see, what else? What am I forgetting? That's pretty much it.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No!
Screw you guys! I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.